Man, that's good stuff. Aren't you glad that God's love chased us down? I mean, isn't it amazing? He loved us when we didn't even know we needed loving. Think about that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we got better, while we were at our worst. I'm just telling you, that's good stuff right there. I don't care. That's good. That's good. That's good. Hope y'all have had a great Monday. That didn't even sound right, great Monday. I hope you've had a great Monday. Take your Bibles and turn with me. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to talk to you about being a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian. Now, here's what I know. I'm going to get into your stuff tonight. I'm just telling you, y'all have had a chance to get to know me in one day. Y'all have told me how much y'all like me. And I'm going to risk it all right tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? Father, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you for the singing that we've heard. Oh, God, what a blessing it is to our soul. And God, I pray that we've understood the words we've sung, and now we take it to heart, and your word speaks to us. God, I specifically pray tonight for those that are battling in this issue of carnality. They are saved, but they are living lost. And so, Father, there's going to be some fussy saints that are going to be set free tonight. There's going to be some dividers. There's going to be some that are living defeated lives tonight that for the first time they're going to realize they have victory in you. And, Father, there are going to be some who are going to choose to walk away from the hay, wood, and the stubble and choose the gold, the silver, the precious stones. And so, Father, I pray tonight that you would break the chains of comfort and compromise, criticism, complaint, and, God, that we would not leave here fussy babies, but we walk out of here faithful believers. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. The carnal Christian is a saved person. They are saved, but they live a fleshly life. They're still operating in their flesh. 1 John 2:16 says they're worldly in that regard, that they still move by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the world, and the pride of life. They're still operating under their flesh. Even though they're saved, they're still operating in their flesh. Now, I want to tell you something. There are two kinds of people, lost and saved. That's it. There are two kinds of people, lost and saved. But in that area, and I often even slow down on this deal right here, because there are some of you that are lost, and you're going to think that you're just carnal. And the reality is, I trust the Holy Spirit that he's going to really define and clarify to you what your situation is. See, in my standing, I am lost or saved. I'm either in Christ or in Adam. My standing, that's my standing. I'm either justified in Christ or I'm not. If I'm justified, that's my standing. I can't be, that's my position. But my state can vary. Now, my state of lostness can't vary. I'm lost. I mean, there's no kind of lost, or there's not a good lost. There's lost. I mean, I'm just telling you, knowing what I know, if I was going to be lost, if I just knew I was going to die and I was going to go to hell, I wouldn't go to hell for being good. I would enjoy everything about this world. I mean, I'd seek every pleasure it had to offer. I wouldn't care about being nice, about being anything like that. I ain't going to hell for being good. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, I know some people are going to bust hell wide open, and they're going to get there and be mad for a lot of reasons. But one is that they worked so hard at being good, and they got there and found out it didn't matter. All right. I'm just telling you. There are a lot of people who aren't going to go to hell because they're drunk, because they lie, because they steal, because they cheat. There are some people going to go to hell because they don't do none of those things, and they think it's all right. they ought to go to hell. They ought to go to heaven just because of what they don't do. So here's this carnal person right here. They're living, they are saved, but living in their flesh. And so it's just a mess. And so it's causing up here. There's a soulishness to them. The carnal man has a soulishness to them. They are appeased intellectually. They get into knowing Scripture, for instance, and they get into their knowledge and understanding, and they're just kind of soulless. It appeals to them to know things, to dig around and stuff like that. And not only that, but they're also moved by their emotion. They operate by feeling. I mean, everything in their faith is about feeling. They witness if they feel like it. They go to church if they feel like it. They read their Bible if they feel like it. I mean, they're just feeling, constantly moved by their feelers or maybe their will. They're operating in their will. They just feel like they've got to try harder. I just need a little bit more resolve. I've got to try harder. I just got to go try and be a better Christian. I tell you what, you'll wear yourself out trying to be a better Christian. I'm just telling you. That's why every day, six people leave the ministry. 2,000 a year. Because they're wearing themselves out trying to do what can only be done in the Spirit of God. See, all the commands that Jesus puts upon us from his perspective, they're not irrational, they're not hard, they're not even difficult. They make perfect sense to him because they can only be done in the Spirit. Now, if you're living in your flesh, you look at that and go, he's asking too much. But from his perspective, he's not asking you to do anything that he can't do. Y'all understand that? See, sometimes y'all go, I just can't do this. And he goes, you're right, but I can. I didn't save you for you to do what you could do. I saved you for me to do what I could do. And that's a good word right there. I'm just telling you, I had nothing to offer him. Nothing. He didn't save me because he said, you know something? He's got some things I can use. I got nothing. I got nothing to offer him. He didn't save me for any type of talent or ability or anything. He didn't save me. The only reason he saved me is because he loved me. I didn't have anything to offer him. I didn't have anything to bring to the table. I mean, just think about it. Can you just imagine? Sometimes I think we get up there and we treat salvation like a draft. Well, let's see. We hadn't saved a 6'4 white kid today. Let's go ahead and save him. Really? That's not it. There was nothing about me appearance-wise, intellectually, personality. He didn't save me for any of that. He didn't need any of it. God's not in need. Y'all know that? Y'all understand God's not having any type of economic crisis? I mean, y'all get that. God didn't look around heaven one day and say, man, we got to have some more people up here. Let's come up with a salvation gig. But we get in our thing. We think that we go by appearance. So when we're living our flesh, we go by appearance. We go by men's approval. We want men to approve us, so we seek their approval. And the Bible says that the fear of man's a snare, but those who trust in the Lord will be exalted. I mean, some of you are just eat up with the fear of man. Everything you do, you're afraid because you have a certain person that you want their approval. You want something. And I'm not saying it's always bad. Listen, daughters love the approval of their dads. There's nothing more important to a young lady than her dad's approval. She craves it. There's nothing more important to a son than having a man in his life encouraging and approving him and equipping him. That's why we've got a mess in our country. We've got fatherlessness. It's crazy. Do you understand 50% of babies born today won't know their biological dad? And understand, so when they hear the word father, they don't have a good picture in their mind? I work in the youth detention center some, over in Gainesville. And so I go in there and I meet with those young men and those young women. And I'm just telling you, there's not a father in their life. And the women are especially tough to deal with because you ask them, tell me about your father. You said the man that raped me, my pimp. Is that who you're talking about? So I'm just saying, I understand there's a healthy approval that we need, but you need to get a hold of this. You can't please everybody, but you can please God. Did y'all get that? Now, some of you kids listened to me and said, I'll tell you what, then all right, then preacher, you're sitting, you're under the authority of your parents. You better please them. I'm just telling you. I'm going to tell you, when I grew up, defects was something different than it is today. When I grew up, if I sass back my mama, the facts was my daddy's going to tear me up. That's the facts. I was going to get a whipping. That's how it was. And I'll say that, and somebody will come up and say, we've never had to whip our child. Send it to my house. Give me 5 minutes. I'll come up with a reason. We won't let it go. I mean, no child should be deprived of that experience. I mean, I'm just telling you, you got some kid walk around and said, I've never been whipped. I'm sitting there thinking, I need to do that right now. So you, I mean, nobody should not have that memory. Amen. There you go. Y'all feel better now. Some of y'all just got right. Some of you just want to go spank your kid just to feel better. I know. So here it is, we talk about carnality. The Bible tells us that when we try to live in the flesh, what can only be lived in the Spirit, here's what it says in Galatians chapter 3. Just flip over and go, I can read it to you. Verse 1, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? You think Paul is trying to say you're being foolish? Now, he's not holding any punches. He's not being real politically correct in his address. You're being foolish. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean they lack intellect. It just means they've lost their identity in Christ, and they're not sure what God's trying to do, and they're being foolish, because that's what it is to live the life in the flesh. To try to live out Christianity in the flesh is foolish. It's futile. It'll make you just worn out. You'll be frustrated because you're sitting there trying all the time to do something what God told you to do, and it's just futile. But none of that, it's just fearful. You see, the flesh, the carnal life, is a picture of Israel in the wilderness. That's the type. And you remember, in the wilderness, Israel was not a happy bunch. They were grumbling, they were complaining. And when it came time to go into Canaan, not only were they just foolish, not only were they futile, but they were fearful, they were scared. And when you live in your flesh and God brings you to a place of obedience, you'll disobey because your courage is not there. You're just being fearful. You're afraid that God's not who he says he is. And because you operate with your emotions, you let fear guide you to places that faith wants to free you from. And it's not just faith in faith, it's faith in Jesus. Faith in faith is nothing. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for faith in faith. Faith in Jesus. The object will always get you to the objective. So if Jesus is the object of your faith will get you to the objective he wants taken care of. And so we need to understand this. Let me tell you about the wilderness now, because you can get comfortable in the wilderness. I know a lot of people, carnal people, who are comfortable in the wilderness and understand what the Bible says about Israel in the wilderness. Nehemiah, when he was talking about what God did in the wilderness, listen to what he said in Nehemiah 9:21. Indeed, 40 years you provided for them in the wilderness. See, you can live in the wilderness and get God's provision. I mean, I talk to people all the time, think they're just godly because God provided something for them. Well, God will do that for you in the wilderness. I mean, he didn't let them starve to death in the wilderness, did he? He provided for them. I mean, God will provide for your needs in the wilderness. I mean, he'll keep you comfortable while you're waiting to die. I mean, there are churches. There are churches that think everything's okay because they're meeting budget. They have a sufficient number of people showing up. They've got some programs they're doing. They're doing some things to make them feel okay. And so they're, in essence, they're just waiting to die. See, healthy churches have to have more than butts and budgets. Y'all all right? I need to say that a little clearer for you. I'm just telling you. We're losing more churches every year than we're starting. Why? Because there are churches that thought that they were just too healthy to die. That they decided they weren't going to change. That they decided they weren't going to reach anybody else. That they had the people they wanted to have and everybody was okay and it was real comfortable coming to church and knowing people that they know and people that acted like them, looked like them, thought like them, and it was all really cool. They had a really good club. And so because they had money in the bank and because they weren't necessarily empty, they had a few people in the nursery that made them feel like they was getting younger. They felt it was good. They couldn't be in the wilderness. And I'm just telling you, this is what it says. Indeed, 40 years you provided for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell. Hey, in the wilderness, they were doing all right. They had what they needed. They weren't in want in the wilderness. But let me tell you what the wilderness is not where God wanted them. But they got comfortable in the wilderness. I mean, listen, they had bread falling from the sky. They had meat coming in on them. They weren't getting anywhere. They just walked around in a circle, but at least they were moving. See, they chose to have his provision instead of choosing to have the provider. They chose to have their needs met in the wilderness than the promise he had for them in Canaan. See, God called them to be a people of promise, but they became a people of problems. So here's just some things that carnality look like. See, when you're living a carnal life, you've got unceasing conflict. Unceasing conflict. Now, verse 3 says that you're still fleshly because you're jealous and strife. You're acting fleshly. There's division. We know there's division in Corinth because it says some say you're of Apollos, some say you're of Paul. So there's division. Corinth was a problem. They had problems with personalities. They chose personalities, and the personalities didn't ask for anybody to choose them, but they divided up among personalities. They divided up among preference, and they divided up among pleasures. I mean, they were indulging their flesh in ways that even the pagans weren't doing, is what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I mean, there was a guy sleeping with a stepmother. I mean, we think our culture invented perversion. No, they just didn't have social media back then to talk about it. But when you're in your flesh and you're carnal, there's always conflict. Why? Galatians 5:17, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another. Now, I want you to listen to this last statement in this verse out of Scripture. So that you may not do the things that you please. I want to tell you something tonight, and you've got to get this, and you're not going to like it, and that's fine. You're just going to have to take it. When you choose disobedience, you choose to give place to the devil. And when you give place to the devil will take that place. It didn't say they wouldn't try to do things to please them. It says, and you listen to it, so that you may not do the things that please you. Why? Because Jesus will not share the throne in our life. And when you choose to be disobedient, you cannot at the same time choose to say, I'm going to do what I want in my flesh. There's not a duality. He says, no man can serve two masters. He's going to love one or hate the other. Didn't say we wouldn't try. Said you can't. And there's some of you who don't understand by denying the Lord Jesus Christ, the lordship, the authority, and the position that he has by purchase. He bought it. When you said yes to him, you surrendered everything. And when you choose to take back, see, the only reason the devil can get there is because you want him there. He can't mess with you unless you choose to sin. And when you choose to sin, you give him a place. He cannot possess you, but he starts influencing you. Why? Because you invited him. Well, I didn't invite him. Yes, you did. When you sinned, you invited him. He said, go back to the Galatians. When you do that, what form of witchcraft are you choosing? That's demonic. And when you choose to ignore God and live in your own strength, you choose conflict. Inwardly and outwardly. I'm telling you, I meet people, I go to church all the time, and churches are just always fussing and fighting about something. That word strife, you know what that word means? Fussy. Fussy, people fussing all the time, always upset about something, always complaining about something, always griping about something, whether it's in the church or outside the church. I'm not talking about just in the context of church. I'm talking about the place you work. I mean, you ever met fussy people at where you work? Don't point. I mean, just fussy about everything. You can't just, I mean, some of you say, well, you just described adolescence. Exactly. We got adults acting like a bunch of kids. My gracious, have you paid attention in our country today? People call themselves Christians and act like a bunch of idiots? Touchy. Touchy about everything. Everything. We got people just sitting there and wait to have a fight, to have a debate. You can't say nothing about anything. I mean, we got more divisions in our country. We got things that, I mean, we're divided on race. We're divided by generation. We're divided by economics. We're divided by education. We're divided by regions. We're divided by age. We're divided, politically divided. I mean, we're just institutionally divided. We're just divided. We're touchy, and we're just ready to fight somebody. I'm just telling you. I go to meetings all the time. I go to things and they tell me I got to have this perspective in order to reach this person. I got to have this perspective to reach this person. Well, if I'm going to reach that person, I got to get over here. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm just telling you, I raised my hand one time and said, can I just ask a question? Can we just not tell anybody that Jesus loves them regardless of who they are, where they are, the color of their skin, what they got going on? Can we just not share Jesus with them? Because I'm just going to tell you something. When we get to heaven, ain't none that going to matter. I'm just saying that. Can we just not get over it? Well, you don't understand what's happened to me. You don't know what's happened to me. Well, I think you probably came up pretty good. I did. I was molested. Yeah. So, by reason, I should be just bitter and mad and upset and, you know, wear that on my feelings when somebody comes around and they talk about perversion and sexuality and somebody makes an off-color joke or something about it like that, I'll just go off. Because I was treated. No, I forgave them. I'm not going to let them have that in my life anymore. I can't afford bitterness or a grudge. And God set me free, and I'm free to live like that. I'm just telling you, I don't have time to figure out who I'm supposed to be mad at. I'm just telling you. But we live in a country and a church and a culture. We always trying to figure out what we got. I was so tickled to walk in here and see the diversity of this room. I was just about plumb excited. I called my wife. I said, anything, you wouldn't believe it. And they seem like they like each other and ain't nobody mad. I'm not,
I mean, we got colors and nationalities and all kind of stuff, and I'm just telling you, I thought it was really cool. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not talking. You understand something? I'm not talking to race. I'm talking to grace. Do you get that? Do you understand that? And we got touchy people. I'm saying churches, touchy. I mean, I just don't care anymore. I care, but I don't care. You understand? So I'm not reckless. If somebody walks in and got a bone sticking out in their neck, I won't tell them about Jesus. I don't care. They got tats, piercings. I don't care. I don't care. I preached at a church recently. I think I was the only guy in the room without a tattoo. I mean, a bunch of motorcycle people, the church that had come out of drug addicts. I mean, it was all over the place. And I just leaned over to the pastor. I said, man, I think I'm the only one in here without a tattoo. And I said, I'm glad you're here. He said, I got one. I almost wanted to go get a henna. I mean, I'm just telling you, man. Well, I'm a little worried about getting a tattoo. You know, you get a tattoo back here, and then by the time I'm 70, you know, that butterfly looked like a pterodactyl flying around back there. Y'all all right? Some of y'all need that right here. Mom turns in, just so you can't do the things you please. I mean, you get in the flesh and nothing's going to make you happy. You can't, because you're always trying to find in substitutes of the flesh what can only come in the spirit. Nothing you do makes you happy. And nobody makes you happy. Nobody can do it. Why? Because only Jesus can satisfy your soul. The misery of carnality is choosing less when the spirit inside you knows you could have more. That's why you're so miserable. You know you're not living right. You know. And see, here's the thing. Most believers know. Most believers have a point of reference to know what it is to live in the love of God. And that's why you're so miserable, because you know it's better than what it is right now. And that's why backsliding's miserable. So when you're living in your flesh, you're just always, I mean, you argue with yourself. I mean, your spiritual gift is misery, and you like to pour it out every now and then. Repeated defeat. Another marker is you're always dealing with defeat. For are you still fleshly? Aren't you living like mere men? Trying to accomplish with reason and resolve what can only be accomplished in the power of God. You're trying to reason your way out of it. You're trying to resolve, and you're just trying to figure, what I need is I need another plan. I see it among addicts. I watch addicts deal with this. You can see it, and I know you're a counselor right here, and I mean, you can see it with addicts. And you got Celebrate Recovery, and I love speaking Celebrate Recovery. I'm just telling you, man, they start throwing babies and Bibles. They get excited. When they're free, they are free indeed. It's a fun group to preach to. But I'm just telling you, so when you get in there, but here, you can always tell addicts when they're blaming somebody. It's somebody else's fault. I'm this way because this happened to me. I'm this way because that happened to me. I'm this way. There's always a reason. And there's always a reason why they hit the relapse, or when they hit something else. There always is a reason. It's because something happened. And so what they got to do is they got to try harder. No. What you got to repent is you got to be obedient. It's an issue of obedience. Not an issue. It's about trusting. It's not about trying. You ought to know, the Bible says that when you know somebody's coming at you and you know what nature they are and what they've done for you, it doesn't say sit there and try to deal with them. It says flee. Flee. Now, you know what the Bible says, you need how to deal with sexual temptation. You know what the Bible, the constant word is? Flee. Flee. That's why I have I just had the Billy Graham rule in my life, had it in my life all my ministry. I don't go anywhere with any woman that's not my wife, my daughter, my grandmama, my mama. I just don't do it. Why? Why? Are you struggling that much? No, I don't want to give anybody any cause to come up with something that's not there. Matter of fact, when I'm out with my daughter, I make sure to introduce her as my daughter. It's kind of hard not to. She looks like me and her mama, but she looks more like her mama. Thank God. I just don't do that. I don't put myself in that situation. It's like Joseph. Joseph in Potiphar's house. He didn't sit there and try to negotiate with her. He said, listen, I'm out of here. She had to grab his coat. I mean, it's about fleeing. It's about fleeing. If you know somebody's coming at you and they represent some things in your life as to what you used to do when you shouldn't have been doing it, don't hang out with them. I don't care how much you like them, love them, or think of them. Flee. Don't go there. Don't go to those places. Don't go with them people. Don't seek that pleasure. Stay away from it. It's not hard, but your flesh will fool you into thinking, no, you can do it. You just got to have a little bit more resolve. That's a lie. It's a lie. After I got saved, I spent a lot of time by myself because all my buddies didn't want to hang out with me unless I went to the bar with them. Well, when I went to the bar with them, I'd just get in a fight, so I didn't go back to the bar. I'm just telling you. So I attached myself to Christ. And that's why so many people have repeated defeat. And you get in there and you don't do what you want to do, is what Paul said in Romans 7, I don't do what I want to do, and then I'm doing what I didn't want to do. When I was trying to make peace with my flesh, I don't accomplish what I need to accomplish, and then I accomplish what I don't need to accomplish. Oh, wretched man of me. And so why was he saying? Because when you try to live and you try to give your flesh something your flesh doesn't have a right to anymore, it messes with you. The problem's not sincerity, it's submission. I don't care how sincere your efforts are. The issue's not a sincere effort to do right. It's submitting to the one who is right. Repeated defeat. And then there's just continual infancy. You just don't grow up. You're just a baby. That's what it says. It says, and our brethren could not speak to you as spiritual men. Do you get that? I could not speak to you. Why is it that most people feel like the reason they're not hearing has to do with the preacher? And it's not you. I mean, I hear it all the time. I'm just not getting fed. Maybe you're not the same restaurant I'm at. Maybe you're not eating the same diet I'm eating. Maybe it's not. And by the way, it's not my responsibility to feed you. Unless you're a baby, and then I gotta feed you because babies can't feed themselves. I mean, I'm just telling you, when I had my kids and they was trying to eat off that plate, they can then make a mess. We're tickled to death when they could start hitting the mark. I don't know where this thing is where I've got to feed you. Where your pastor's got. I love your pastor. I love your pastor, man. I love him. He's a precious man of God. I'm just telling you, I just like him. I like hanging out with him. I even asked his wife, and she said she likes him too. And I mean, it was just. That's good, man. But when you talk about a baby, you're talking about they're dependent on others. Always needy. Babies are needy. You ever met needy people? You can't get by them. I mean, they're just. They're fun. They're enjoying, but they can't help you do squat. I mean, you look at babies, you sit there and you get, oh, look at that, so precious. Right? Ain't that nice? Yeah, that's good. They can't help you. They can't even get out of that car seat. They can't get out of that papoose. They can't even get out of that diaper that smells to high heaven. And I'm just telling you. And I'm just telling you, there are people in our churches that are so carnal, they can't help. They can't help in the carrying on of ministry. They can't help in doing anything else. They're fun to be around, but don't count on them for nothing. They might be the life of the party, but they're not going to show up to help do anything. Why? Because they're a baby. They absorb attention. Babies just crave attention. Matter of fact, if you don't give them the attention they want, you know what they do? They start yelling. They're governed by their feelings. That's the only way they can communicate. If something's wrong, you know what they do? They start yelling, just like when they don't get enough attention. When something's wrong, they start crying. They absorb attention. If they don't feel like they're getting the attention they want, if they do something and not everybody doesn't cheer or something like that, then they get upset. You know, I've been singing in the choir 5 weeks in a row. Nobody said anything. Yeah. I've been a member of this church 20 years. Nobody even knows that. I mean, do you understand what we do? Those babies get upset when they don't get recognized. I'm not saying we shouldn't honor longevity and loyalty. I'm not saying that. But the problem is when you have to have it, there's a problem. You know, I pastored that church in Vidalia for almost 14 years, Brother Randy. I mean, we grew. We did all that kind of stuff. And you know, I left there in May, and you know what they had the gall to do? They had another guy in there by October. I mean, they didn't let the body get cold. He didn't go through what I got. He stepped in a situation. I mean, he got no debt. He got all that. I mean, got a nice office, got that kind of stuff like that. And you know, ain't nobody called and said thank you or nothing. I thought they at least ought to have a Bucky Day or something like that. I try to encourage my wife to have a day for me every now and then. She don't do it. I've been with her for 30 years. When you get carnal, you think you got to have some type of recognition for something. Appreciation's always good. Encouragement's always nice. But when you got to have it for you to be happy, something's wrong. See, the carnal life wants the power of the resurrection without the pain and price of the cross. And so what happens is this, when it comes down to judgment, here's what happens. It says, and he talks about this, and verse 12 and 13 of that same chapter in 1 Corinthians, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. And so what happens, the carnal man turns in the gold and the silver and the precious stones, and he just likes to hood the wood, hay, and the straw. And see, some of you are here tonight and you're saying, so what's the bad, I mean, what's so wrong with that? I mean, you're saved and so what, you know? Well, what's the issue here? At least you're saved. I mean, no harm, no foul. So I'm going to have a little bit of a bonfire at judgment. That's the problem. You don't care about anybody else. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel if somebody told me how spiritual they were and wouldn't tell nobody about Jesus. Because if you're spiritual, guess what you're going to do? You're going to tell people about Jesus. You're going to restore people that are hurting. The Bible says that in Galatians chapter 6. It said the spiritual man comes up and aids, helps pick up those that have been caught in trespassing sin. That's a spiritual man. A spiritual man isn't the one who points them out for falling. A spiritual man who picks them up. So don't tell me how spiritual you are and then you don't have a heart to reach lost people. any lost people. Don't tell me how spiritual you are and you don't care that there are dying people going to hell. Don't tell me how spiritual you are. Don't tell me how many verses you've memorized. Don't tell me how many Bible study pens you've got. Don't tell me how many consistent Sundays you've been here. And don't tell me how much you love Jesus and not tell anybody else about his great love. I don't understand that, because the Christ in you came to seek and to save that which was lost. And it seems like if he's living in me, then that's what I'm going to want to do. So don't tell me how spiritual you are when that doesn't matter. Hay, wood, and stubble. I just want to ask a question. I mean, it's just curious. Let's say I got everything important to me. All the money I have, all the valuable stuff, everything with me. And I don't believe in banks or stuff like that. And I just put it all in my house. And then my house gets hit by lightning. And I mean, it just goes up. I mean, just flames start shooting everywhere. I mean, I got my wife there, my kids are in the house, everything, all my valuable stuff's in the house. If you know anything about fire, and I was a chaplain, and they made me go into a burning building so I understood what was going on. When you get in there, it's not the flames, it's the smoke. You can't see. You can't see. That's why people die from smoke inhalation. They don't die from the flames, they die from smoke. You can't see. Nothing. Well, I said that fire's burning, and all of a sudden I'm awakened by the smoke, and just out of shock stuff, I'm just sitting around. I'm going, man, it's burning, and all of a sudden I can kind of feel around because I know where windows and doors are, and I make it out, and I out there, and all of a sudden the house just is engulfed in flames, and I'm sitting out there, and I'm saying, "Woo, man, made it out! Let's go get a steak and celebrate, baby! Woo, that's so good." Hey, Bucky, Where's your wife? Well, what do you mean? You made it out. She's in. Where's your son? Well, what do you mean where my son is? He's in the house. You made it out. He's in. Where's your girl? She's in the house. You think I'm going to celebrate that? You think I'm going to have a party about that? And you sit there and think it's okay to live your life the way you want to, and there are people burning to death around you. Because that's on them. It's not your responsibility to live a godly life. It's not your responsibility to live in such a way that people would be drawn to Jesus. That's not your way. Matter of fact, that's their own fault. But yet you've given them nothing to look at. You've given them nothing to be jealous for. You've given them nothing that even gives them a glimpse that Jesus loves them. Nothing. But you're saved. Hallelujah. You wonder why your children are rebellious, because whatever happened on Sunday morning in your life didn't make it past Monday. Carnality is deadly. It's the worst kind of deadly. Because as believers, we ought to know better. We ought to know better. Carnality, you know by your fussing. Continual conflict. You're known by your defeats. You win long enough just to lose again. You're known because you're childish. You're baby. It's hay, wood, and stubble when you could have gold, silver, and precious stones. I know what you're saying. Well, look, that's kind of tough, isn't it, though? So was the cross. He paid much too high a price for me to settle for hay, wood, and stubble. Much too high a price for me to settle for hay, wood, and stubble. Now, if none of your stuff bothers you, if you can be comfortable with hay, wood, and stubble, then the problem is, then you have no conviction. And if you have no conviction, you have no conversion. Because there's no way that you can say, I love Jesus, and be anything but comfortable in that situation. You can't be. You can't be. I'm just telling you, Bucky, are you saying it's impossible? No, I'm saying he said it's impossible. Romans chapter 6, he said you can't continue in sin. You can't. So my question is, if there's conflict, consistent conflict in your life, and you're not doing anything about it, and you don't recognize it, why not? And if you do recognize it, why aren't you doing something about it? And don't you dare say, well, I just can't. That's the way God made me. That's why he saved you. Because he put his life in you, because you weren't made to deal with it, but he is. If you're just always acting childish. And by the way, if you have the Spirit of God, right now he's telling you you're being childish. He's telling you you're being defeated constantly because you haven't submitted. Because your plan's not working, you haven't submitted to his person. He's telling you that. The issue's not the program you're in. The issue's the person you're listening to. And if you're listening to self above the Savior, get ready. You're going to be losing again. So if you're telling me you can be comfortable and not tell anybody about Jesus, you can be comfortable and not be burdened about people that are hurting, you can be comfortable and not care about anything else, if all it takes to make you comfortable is a half-full church and a good bank account, then God help us. That's not comfort. That's carnality. That's what that is. And there's too much at stake to be that kind of carnal. Well, I told you I was going to put it all on the line tonight. What you going to do? What you going to do? You just going to kind of sit and wait to die? You going to keep walking around hoping something good happens just because you got everything you want that God's provided for you, a nice, comfortable wilderness that you can die in? Over 40 years, 2 million deaths. They were burying somebody all the time. See, because it's comfortable waiting to die. It's the most miserable comfort you'll ever know. And you're saying, what can we do? Anything he can. But you cannot do what he has saved you to do and hang on to your sin. You can't. I don't care what excuse you think you got, it's not good enough. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. God, it's my prayer tonight that we're not in that house feeling all comfortable. We understand that there can be a great tragedy that costs us the lives of precious people. And so, Father, I pray tonight that there's a reckoning with you that shakes us from our comfort. God, last night we asked to be desperate. Tonight, I'm praying that we have a holy discomfort. And God, you'd shake us from that and realize that we've gotten comfortable having our needs met in the wilderness. But you didn't make us to be provided for in the wilderness. You made us for the promise of Canaan. You saved us for that. And we can trust you for that. Your head bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask you tonight. Say, Bucky, I'm not carnal. I'm lost. tonight, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I'm lost. God's been dealing with me since Sunday morning, even before that, in the prayer meetings you've had, or maybe the times you've had, or maybe you've just come with somebody tonight and you're lost and you know you're lost. If you died tonight, you'd go to hell. You know that. God's been clear with you, dealt with you. But tonight you said, I want to be saved. Just lift your hand up. I'm looking. I'm looking. Anyone? I'm looking. I want to be saved. All right, now I want to get real specific here, dear believer. So, Bucky, I know I'm saved, but I'm fussy. I'm fussy. I'm given to conflict. I don't want to be, but I am. And God pointed out that I've got fussiness in my life. I'm kind of touchy, and I need to be delivered from that. Just lift your hand up. I'm touchy. There you go. Anybody else? I'm fussy. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? I'm kind of combative. I'm conflict-oriented. Given to criticism. Yeah. 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 Thank you. I want you to ask God to deal with you on that. I ask you to set you free from that. He will. Submit yourself to Him. Don't just admit what you are. Repent of it. Maybe you're here tonight and say, Buck, I just can't. I'm always up and down. I'm in mountaintop, I'm in the valley. I keep repeating defeat. I just can't get free from the bondage of defeat. I'm either up or down, up or down. I just can't. I'm living from emotion to emotion, and that's me. Would you lift your hand? I'm that person right there. You may have lifted your hand before, and you got to lift it up again. It's all right. That's me. I'm going in the valley. I'm repeating defeat. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And it's going to be a tough one. Bucky, I tend to act like a baby. My feelings are my guide. I'm attention hungry. And we don't like that. That's pride right there. Pride will get you right now. Pride saying, that's not me. I don't have to have the attention. I'm not bothered by the fact that nobody's paying attention to me. Then why are you talking about it? I'm a baby. I'm not growing up. I haven't moved past infancy. I've been saved, but I just don't seem to be growing up. It's an issue of maturity. That's my issue. I'm not growing in my faith. Would you lift your hand up? Would you? Father, I pray right now for those that raised their hand and for those that didn't. God, right now, that you'd break them free, Father, that you'd break them free from their issue of conflict, that you'd break them through from just inconsistency in their victory, Lord. They don't know continual victory. They only know is repetitive defeat. And God, that you'd set them free from the infancy that they're trapped in, and the fact that they're always so needy and they're always begging. And Lord, that you'd just break them free. And God, I thank you for those that in boldness said, that's me. That's me. That's my issue. That's me. And so God, I ask that you'd set them free. And Lord, here's what I know. There are some in here that are still giving the enemy an opportunity to mess with them, to deceive them. And so Father, I pray when we get this invitation that the enemy is set free. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the enemy has no authority in this place. Lord, not because of who I am, but based on who you are. That you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God, he may not know my name, but he knows your name. And so, Father, I pray right now that he would not have victory in this place, and he would no longer have influence over those that belong to you. That, God, they would look at the devil tonight and tell him to go to hell. And God, I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.